Several, last month, in fact, at the Remembrance Service, our brother Pride Moore kept mentioning these spring cleaning items. And he mentioned the fact that not necessarily are the ones who are doing the speaking struggling with these problems. And I thought to myself, wow, that's not me. Tremendous questions that are asked as we've covered them. Do I procrastinate? Am I selfish? Have I wrongly accused someone? I thought, wow, that hits pretty home to me. In fact, I mentioned those to, I mentioned to Bruce Calderwood a few weeks ago, I said, I don't know where other you guys are on all this, but if I was taking the test, I would get an F. And Bruce responded to me. He said, boy, it's a good thing they didn't check with Nancy or you would be getting a Z. And in fact, just the other day after the elders' meeting, we have the characters up there. You probably don't recognize them, but that's because we're dressed in our priestly robes, which we usually dress in when we do the work of the Lord. And this is Bruce Calderwood on your right here, and myself on the left, and he is getting after me. And in the middle of there is Art Pierce. And Art Pierce is looking on, and the scripture says, in the mouth of one or two witnesses, let every word be established. So that's Art in the middle. Boy, Alice Ann, I bet you didn't know he looked that good in robes, huh? Can we put up there what Bruce was talking to me about? I had to shake hands with Bruce before the meeting, and I said to Bruce, I just wanted to shake your hands while we're still friends. That reminds me of a story which, oh, by the way, don't be writing this down. I see people grabbing their pens and, oh, I got to write this down. I'll tell you when it's time to take notes. And it reminds me of a story that I heard about a Baptist minister and a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest and a Methodist minister and a Lutheran minister all in the same town. And they decided, they had churches in this same town, and they decided to get together for a time of prayer and confession as to the things that they were dealing with, the problems that they had in life, the things that really troubled them in their ministry, personal things. And so the Lutheran minister, they sat down, and the Lutheran minister says, well, we have a wonderful church, he says, but I really struggle. He says, I struggle with drinking. I just can't seem to stay out of the bars, and I'm drinking, and that's a real problem. And you brethren, I appreciate prayers for you. And the Catholic priest, he said, well, I have a problem too, and my problem is I'm a gambler, and I just can't seem to hold on to money. I gamble it away, and even one time to pay a debt off, I took some money out of the synagogue offering. And the Jewish rabbi said, well, I suffer from covetousness and jealousy, and I want what I see. And I'm very jealous, and I need prayer to help me to overcome this. And the Methodist minister said, well, I have a tremendous problem with pornography. And I want to just be rid of this, and you fellas can pray for me. And the Baptist minister, he jumped up and he says, I got to be going. And they said, wait. You haven't even told us what your problem is. He said, my problem is I'm a gossip and I can't wait to get out of here. Now, the question that is before us today is really two questions. The question is, do I justify certain indulgences? And the two questions are, from this one question, is first of all, do I have any indulgences? And second, if so, do I justify them? Now, the word indulgence came into the English language during the Middle Age period of time. And during that time, if somebody was in a church or the church and they wanted to do something that they knew was really bad, and their conscience bothered them about it, they would go to a church official and pay large sums of money in many cases. And ahead of time, they would get an absolution for the sin that they wanted to commit. And it gave them the right to go ahead and commit the sin that they wanted to do as a result of paying a sum of money, and they received from the church leader an indulgence to go ahead and engage in that sin. That's where the word originally came from. In our day and age, the word indulgence means, generally today, it means a gratification of the sinful desires of the flesh. And as such, it means it has a negative quality about it. In the passage that the gals read this morning in Mark 4, Jesus refers to these indulgences as thorns, which grow up and they choke out the word of God. They choke out anything that God has to say. And we all have indulgences in our life. Some of them we know about and struggle with. Others are unknown or we're unaware of. And those that we are aware of, we tend to make excuses for, don't we? We tend to justify our actions. And we justify them by the things that we say and the things that we do. We are a self-justified people. And if we have these indulgences, we seek to justify ourselves and seek to make ourselves right and seek to make ourselves acceptable. Self-justification is one sure way that these indulgences and sins never, ever get dealt with. And in Romans 26:23, God says that the end of these things is death. The wages of sin is death. And in James 1:15, James says this, sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now, one of the things that we as a people and as a nation hate probably more than anything else in life, it's personally we hate to be deceived. Don't you just hate it when people cheat on you and deceive you? Doesn't it make your blood boil and when you think that you've been caught up in somebody's lie or somebody's scam and you've believed them and put trust in them and sometimes you've lost money and sometimes you've bought faulty products and it's a despicable thing to be deceived by somebody. We even have an expression in life. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And so we hate people that deceive us and that gives us false information and that lie and cheat. These are the low-life people in our opinion. And there's so many scams that go around today, particularly on elder people who they're robbed of their life savings and robbed of valuables. And their houses are broken into and they're deceived because they believe what somebody tells them. And so we despise in our society those kind of people. Yet in self-justification, we deceive ourselves, don't we? We tell ourselves things that aren't true. We, if you want, gossip to ourselves those things that aren't true. And the tragedy is that we end up believing our own lie, isn't it? We tell ourselves a fib, and we don't accept fibs from other people, but we tell ourselves a fib, and we end up believing it. That's what self-justification is. They deceive themselves. In self-justification, we make comparisons with other people, don't we? I'm not so bad as she is or he is. My problem's no worse than anybody else's. And when we have a problem that we're dealing with, we can always find somebody that has a bigger problem than we have. Always. Well, I'm not as bad as him or her. So we seek to justify ourselves at the expense of others. We tell ourselves that we have our addiction or whatever it is we're dealing with it, we have it under control. And we can stop or change our behavior at any time if we wish to. We blame others. We blame our circumstances. We say everybody is doing it. Must not be so bad. We think and sometimes say, well, as long as it doesn't affect other people, as long as nobody else is affected. The problem is when we have these indulgences in sin, it always affects other people. But we think it only has to do with ourselves. And so in self-justification, we excuse ourselves on that basis. We come up with things like, it's okay to have an affair because it's between two consenting adults, so it's okay. In our latest effort to justify the evil and the sin in our life is to have the government involved. And if the government says it's okay, then who am I to say it's not okay? And who can bring any charge after all? And our government has said it's okay for a woman to have a choice and to kill her unborn baby. That's okay because the government says it's okay. And it'll soon be okay in our country to have gays and lesbians marry because the government is going to say it's okay. And so we seek all these things to self-justify ourselves. And self-justification is no justification at all. And the Bible says not only are we condemned, self-justified people are people that are condemned. Now, when we come to God, we come and we're not self-justified when we come to God. A self-justified person never, ever comes to God, never. And if you're here and you're harboring sins and resentment and bitterness and evil in your life, and you're seeking to find a way to make it right, then you'll never end up coming to God, never. It keeps us away from all the blessings that there is in God and being justified by faith. It keeps us away from those things. Our country today is in a state of where everybody is doing whatever they feel like. There are no absolutes. There are no rules. There are no standards of behavior and conduct. There is no conclusion in life. everything is up in the air, and it has no conclusion and no ending and no continuity to it, because we justify ourselves. And it doesn't matter what side of the political aisle you're on, but you listen to radio and everybody is shouting their opinion, isn't it? Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody is seeking to self-justify themselves. And sometimes 4 and 5 and 6 people are talking at the same time. Do you know that? Do you see that? They're all talking. They all have their own ideas. And they're all seeking to self-justify themselves and prove themselves to be right. The Bible in the book of Judges, 2 places in the book of Judges, it says this, the indictment against the people of Israel during the time of the judgments of God and the judges of God in the Old Testament. Everyone did what was right in those days. There was no king in Israel. And everybody did what was right in his own eyes. Can you think of a better description than that of our world today? Everybody is doing what he or she feels like doing. No absolutes, no accountability, just self-justification that I have my rights and I'm entitled to feel and do and say what I want to say. And we have millions of people saying that at the same time. Self-justified people are people who live in a state of denial and are people who never, ever come to Jesus to be justified by faith. Now, I don't know what you're struggling with this morning, and we all have our struggles. We have health problems, and we have family problems, and we have all kinds of difficulties, and none of us are exempt from it. I was just reading an article, I glanced at an article yesterday about Billy Graham's daughter and how she was married and divorced and married again and divorced. And to think that Christian people and people in this church or people are exempt from those things. We're not. We're not. And the only thing that separates a Christian from a non-Christian is that a Christian has been justified by faith in God and we've been set free. That's it. And as long as we justify our behavior, we never come to God and are forgiven. Never. You see, when we come to God, he gives us a new heart. He gives us, the Bible says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from you and give you a heart of flesh, one that beats for God and not for self. Tara Stark understands this miracle as much as anyone can. In the spring of 210, a skiing accident took the life of her 13-year-old daughter, Taylor. Tara and her husband, Todd, decided to donate their daughter's organs to needy patients. Few people needed a heart more than Patricia Winters. Patricia Winters had lived in a state for years where her heart was so poor that she could do nothing but sleep all day long. They arranged to have Taylor's heart transferred into the body of Patricia, and the Tara, the mother, and Todd, the father, decided there was one condition that they would put on this transformation of her heart. And that is, when the heart was transplanted into the life of another human being, the condition is they wanted to hear the heart beat. And so that operation took place. And Tara and Todd got on a plane and flew from Dallas, Texas to Phoenix, Arizona. And they went to Patricia's house just to listen to their daughter's heart. Oh, it was their daughter's heart, but it was in a different body. And they listened to that heart, knowing that their daughter's heart beat inside that little girl. Those of us that are justified by faith, does not God hear the still beating heart of his son as he listens to ours? You see, he's given us a new heart and a new hope. And we no longer have to justify ourselves, no longer, because we've been set free. In life, I have nothing to prove, nothing. And the greatest thing about my life is this, that I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's the greatest asset I have. That Jesus took all our guilt away, that he took all our sins away. We no longer have to make excuses. We no longer have to come up with ideas why we're right and why people should believe in us. For the fact that we have been redeemed and we're sinners saved by grace, and we have nothing else to prove, do we? We don't have to prove that we're better than other people like self-justified people do. They always have to prove themselves better, don't they? We don't. Because we're not. We're not any better than anybody else. We don't have any abilities that other folks don't have. We don't have any special talents that are exclusive to us. We don't. And if you come in here and you look at us as some special people, I don't want to disappoint you, but we're not. We're not. We're sinners, just like you. I heard the story of a man who walked into a church and sat through the service of the church. And afterwards, he said to the pastor, he says, "I'll never join this church. It's full of hypocrites." And the pastor said, "Well, that's too bad. Because there's always room for one more." You see, at our best, at our very best, we're sinners saved by grace. And that's a wonderful, wonderful fact. And the only thing that's more wonderful than that is I haven't got the slightest idea why that God saved me. Haven't got it. You see, when we're justified by faith, too, our attitude can change toward other folks. Because we realize that when we come to God, we all come the same way. We come as sinners. We come on those who've blown it. We've come on to Jesus and those as those that fall short and are guilty. No excuses. No, I didn't mean to do it, no excuses at all. We come to Jesus by faith, and God justifies us. God forgives us our sins, and by his grace he saves us, and he imputes unto us his righteousness. And so we don't have to prove ourselves, do we? We're no better than anybody else. And that's a liberating fact. This world is filled with all kinds of division. We have the rich and the poor. We have people that have lots and people that have nothing. We have people that have wonderful jobs and people that can't find work. We have black folks and white folks and Indian folks and folks from other countries and nationalities. And these are things that separate us. But you see, in Jesus Christ, we are set free. We're justified by faith in Him, and being justified by faith in Him sets us free. And so there is no divisions. There is no classes. There is no better than and less better. Because we all come to Jesus by faith, and it frees us up to love other people. Self-justified people are never people who forgive, because they're too busy justifying themselves. They're too busy working on their own problems and seeking to cover it up and seeking to have an excuse. So others, to a self-justified people, other people are just a way in which they in their minds can pull that off. He's worse than me. Therefore, I'm not so bad. And so when a self-justified person looks at others, they look on them with disdain, and they look down on them. But you see, when we're justified by faith in Christ, because God has forgiven us, we can forgive other people. And we can look at other people as assets, because Jesus died and for them as well as for me. And it breaks down all these barriers. All these walls that we put up are now broken down, because we're all in the same boat. We've been justified and we've been saved by the grace of God. And that's what God does. One of the things that Jesus reminded, the Bible reminded God, I should say, it's Jesus too in the Old Testament, but he reminds the people of Israel about how they were bought, how they were chosen, the people of Israel. And he says this to them, don't be deceived, he says, I didn't pick you because you were better than anybody else. I didn't pick the nation of Israel because it was bigger and stronger. I didn't take any of those things into my... Your father Abraham was a pagan, far from God. And so don't get high hopes about you're special, because you're not special. And I didn't pick you for any of those reasons. And he also reminded the children of Israel when they went into the promised land, he said this, I'm bringing you into a land that's flowing with milk and with honey. And a land I'm bringing you into, and I'm going to give you houses and homes to live in that you didn't build. And you're going to eat fruit from trees that you didn't plant. And you're going to drink waters from wells that you didn't dig. And the warning was, when you come into all this, don't forget the Lord your God who gives you all those things. And we're a nation today that has forgotten God. Forgotten God. And not once in all the discussion that comes up in the political discussions on both sides of the fence, not once does anyone say, well, what does God think about this? Not once. We're too busy doing what's right in our own eyes. We're too busy being self-justified and making ourselves right instead of falling on our knees and praising the God who gives us all these things. Justification by faith. It gives us peace with God. And we're at peace with ourselves, aren't we? Many things I've struggled during my life. Many things I don't like about myself. But you know what? Those things don't matter to God, do they? They don't. Because God has forgiven me. God has justified me. And I'm resting in His finished work. And the things that I strive for and the things that I sought after and the things that I went after now are given to me freely by God's grace. And I'm the best that I am when I recognize that I am a sinner saved by grace. And by the way, that's your best quality too, if you know Jesus. That's the best thing about you. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, or have money or don't. Doesn't matter. You've been justified in God's sight, and now God accepts you as His only, as His child. And you've been forgiven and set free. And therefore you're free to love and to serve and to respect others. So which is it? Will you go about justifying yourself? Will you go about trying to prove that you're right and everybody else is wrong? That your opinion is right? That you have a right to do what you want to do with yourself? The Bible says we are bought with a price. We're not our own. We're not our own. Because Jesus bought us with His precious blood. And not being our own sets us free from ourselves, enables us to serve God and to love one another and to see the value that God has placed in each individual, no matter what your status in life. God loves you and values you, and we do as well. And so I hope if you're here and you're visiting this place, you don't think of ourselves as being more spiritual or better off or even more loved by God than you are. Because it's not true. God so loved the world, you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank You this morning for these thoughts. We thank You, Lord, that our struggles in life can be over when we come to Jesus, and that we no longer have to make excuses for ourselves. We no longer have to look on others as opportunities to better ourselves, but we have been justified and set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we admit we don't know why. We haven't figured out why God would love us so. But we rejoice in the fact that it's true, and that we are at our best and at our finest in life when we recognize that we are but sinners, saved by the marvelous grace of God. We give thanks for that grace. We give thanks that God was willing to justify folks like us, folks that had nothing to bring and nothing to offer, just excuses. But Jesus died for our sins, and we believe it, and we are set free. And this morning we rejoice, and we are glad for the wonderful work that Jesus has performed on our behalf. And it's our prayer that everyone here may go out of this place rejoicing in the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember the words that Jesus spoke, "If therefore the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed." Thank you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.